Okay, this is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today.
So the more that we are stressed, the more that we're busying, the energy in our body kind of moves upwards into our head. So, you know, if you think, for most of us, I'm going to say pretty much everybody that's listening to this, like, your mind's on overdrive, you know, what we call the monkey mind. And the more that we get stressed, the less space that we give ourselves, the more that we fill ourselves up, the more that the energy of our body moves upwards into, like, it overheats and over-agitates an already overheated and agitated mind.
And stepping up for myself when it feels scary. And it's the commitment to go, you know, I can hear you, Lucy, and I hear that this is that you want to get X, Y, and Z done, and that's okay. it's also okay to just step back and take some time out.
Yeah.
What we love passing on now is the practices that help you bring you back to balance, particularly for those go-go-goers.
Now let the magic begin. Hello, and Jai Ma, Jai Ma Yomis. It's Raquel, and I am in Canggu, Bali. I'm pretty sure in one of my recent episodes, I talked about how I intend to just always pretty much be in Ubud because that's home. Yet after the Nepal trek, something inside of me was like, be by the ocean and then go back to Ubud later. So later this week, I'll be in Ubud. Right now, I decided to be by Canggu, which is a very lively and vibrant town. And yet at the same time, I'm staying at a very nice boutique villa retreat called the Pineapple House. And it is in the perfect location in Canggu because it's next to one of my favorite places to eat and co-work, which is called Living Food Lab. But also, what the Pineapple House does is they're here for us to have a healing adventure. And side note, the two women that happen to own and run this place, they are guests on today's episode. Again, they are two lovely British ladies who are boss women with a story. The first bit, about the first 20 minutes of our conversation, we talk about their stories. Whew! I hope that you don't fast forward through them because I have an inkling of a feeling that something is going to deeply resonate with you, especially if you're interested in either starting a business or you just went through some tragic event. You are looking for surrendering so you can go make your next move, or you are sitting on the precipice of deciding between two big major things. You're torn on what to do, as you know either decision you make is going to drastically change the trajectory of your life. So you can't fully decide what to do, and it might bring you some anxiety, it might bring you some sadness or exhaustion, which is something we talk about on this podcast, as that is their specialty in helping people out, healing their exhaustion. And there is not enough emphasis on exhaustion, as everybody deals with it in one form or another, and some more mild, some more severe, yet it can truly impact your daily existence. And so I'm so thankful for these two and attracting them in my life, as this podcast, it definitely has some quote unquote big names, which you can scroll through. I don't need to name drop them here, but also it has masters in their craft who have lived and know how to hold that space to help one heal. And somehow this podcast attracts those type of individuals. I'm so thankful to have met these two phenomenal women that you're about to meet, Rachel Fernley and Lucy Foster Perkins, who again are co-owners of this space. And it was actually Rachel who founded it about 6-7 years ago. She talks about why and starting up and starting this business in Bali, which happens to be a very sweet boutique villa. I mean, I step outside on my terrace, my little deck, and I look out and I see the rice field and I hear the birds. You can probably hear the birds in the background now, and it's just so tranquil. They gift you when you stay here yoga, and you're also next to the ocean, so then you can surf as well, but all on your own time. You know, they're pretty lax here. If you go online to pineapplehousebali.com, you might see they have different retreat options for you. So you've got your surf and yoga retreats, which is great apparently for beginners who really need that supportive environment to begin either their surf and or yoga journey. Then those who just want to come for yoga and wellness. By the way, they do offer even, I just had one massage from their masseuse here yesterday, and it was phenomenal, exactly what I needed. And a side note from that, I was experiencing severe water retention here, but that massage alleviated it. And so that was really nice to just feel reawakened in my body again after the massage. And they themselves have yin yoga trainings, surf yoga and sound healing retreat. I mean, these women are entrepreneurs in the spiritual space, and I know many of you are too, and so I have a inkling of a feeling you're going to love the advice that they give, that they provide, and the healing modalities they use. I love that we talk about exhaustion on this, because one thing they really help out a lot of women out with is exhaustion. And we don't always take into account the fact that perhaps we are exhausted. We don't think about that. We don't understand why we end up experiencing extreme burnout, or why we, for whatever reason, all of a sudden don't feel motivated, or it can just impact our day and impact the rest of our mind, body, and spirit in so many ways. And people usually do not take into account the severity of their exhaustion. And everyone experiences it. Could be mild, it could be very severe. But when you listen to their definition and how they see it and the practices to help alleviate it, which are very simple, by the way, this could transform your daily life, especially if you are that hustle and grind boss woman like these two definitely are. I mean, yes, they're yogis, and yes, they actually are Ayurveda practitioners, business owners, and retreat leaders. And also, Rachel's a single mama. So they definitely experience exhaustion because they have a lot on their plate. They see the value in just helping people learn to either take it slow, or if you are in that state where you're taking it so slow because of exhaustion, what to do to help you finally get out of that. I mean, one of the questions I get asked most is, how do I get unstuck? I feel stagnant, or I feel exhausted. I feel paralyzed right now, and I just don't know what to do with life. This episode will indeed help you in so many ways. So you should definitely go check out Pineapple House. Go to pineapplehousebali.com. And if you do decide to book with them, let them know that I sent you. And their prices, I think, are honestly very great for providing all that they do. You'll see. Check them out on Instagram at Pineapple House Bali. And then, of course, I'm going to leave the co-owners, Rachel and Lucy's Instagrams, in the show notes as well if you want to say a little hello. Also, let me say a little hello to the Yomi Review of the Week. Now, on behalf of the two beautiful British women who are on the podcast today, I would love to choose a Yomi Review of the Week from the UK. And this one is Light and Love. This podcast is truly transformational. I'm always looking for new information and new ways to learn, and your podcast is the new beacon of love in my life. I'll be listening as I do my university work, dreaming of 1,000 dimensional lives with a laughing emoji. Thank you for this gift, X. Well, thank you for the continual listening, especially as you do undergo the stress of university work. I am very familiar with that. We are one-dimensional, or we are multi-dimensional, beyond one-dimensional. And so just know, as you do this in this small, narrowed human experience, know that perhaps every little bit of work you do, every knowledge you acquire, does happen to feed a seed for your soul's expansion in some way. I don't know where that came from. It just came out. And then might as well just choose another. So this is Matthew from the UK. Love it when guys leave reviews. And of course it's very short, which also is awesome. I love that too. And he writes, love this podcast. Found it nice to hear about your journey with darkness. I look forward to hearing more. Thank you, Matthew. And guess what? You will hear more about my darkness and Rachel and Lucy's dark periods as well on this episode. We're human. We're all human. So we do experience that. So no reason to feel alone. Just know that other people are, even if you're on a soul journey, which everyone is, but if you're consciously on a soul journey, you're going to experience the darkness in order for you to expand. So thank you for your reviews. I might as well do this one. This one's super short and from the UK as well. Love this podcast so much. Wish I had found it earlier. Well, I wish you did too. What the hell? Just kidding. Thank you all so much for your reviews. They mean so much to me. And I hope to continue to provide value for your human and for your soul. And also, Skillshare. You guys, I gotta throw them in here because they're sponsoring this episode. Many of you have heard this a million times, so I hope you're not sick of it by now. But really though, Skillshare, I mean, I'm so thankful to have them continue to sponsor Your Own Magic because, you know, new ears, like that last review, do continue to hear the new episodes usually. Not a lot of people go back to the super old. Some do, many don't. And so all the new people are discovering not only the new guests, but Skillshare. I mean, they have some tool to use for free for 2 months, by the way, to help them enhance in some skill in some way. So yeah, of course I'm going to continue to talk Skillshare as they continue to sponsor the podcast because new people are coming in and they deserve to also learn something new for free for 2 months. That's right, when you go to skillshare.com/your own magic. I mean, they have a variety of over 30,000 courses, by the way, to learn something new in creativity, in business, in tech. I mean, just a variety of interests. And you'll hear midway through more about it. So with all that being said, 2 months for free, skillshare.com/your own magic. But now, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with the co-owners of the Pineapple House, Rachel Fernley and Lucy Foster Perkins. I'm so thankful for this moment. Everybody's missed out on our wonderful conversations because we've been together for the past 3 hours almost. I love that though. I feel like I'm already deeply connected with both of you before we even begin the podcast part of it. And so I think that that's only going to enhance it. This happened for whatever reason. Also, we are in Lucy's room right now at Lucy and Rachel's home. And just to paint people a picture, we're sitting in a dark room because we decided to cover everything for Yemaya. Am I saying it right?
Yes, you are.
And we're going to talk about Yemaya, the meaning behind it, in a second, because I think that's beautiful. And the listeners, many of them are super into goddesses and understanding more about goddesses and different deities. So, but anyway, so we close the blinds and now we're in this dim setting. And I feel way more grounded here.
Me too.
Yeah.
The dog catches flies.
That was so funny.
Mo just caught a fly in her mouth and she's a dog.
She's a dog, don't worry. But that was hilarious. Oh my gosh, she's a dog frog.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. She's got quite the skill of catching them, actually.
That's impressive. I don't know how many dogs that do that. But yeah, this setting, the fact that it has a dog energy is also very nice, too. This dog is chilling. What kind of dog is that?
Bali dog.
A Bali dog. Yeah. Yeah, they don't have names.
These two Bali dogs are sisters, and they probably got some ancestors that were not a Bali dog. But
so beautiful. Well, I feel way more grounded here. In the spirit of it, do you guys mind joining me in a quick little prayer?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dear Divine Guidance, thank you so much for this beautiful opportunity with these two very phenomenal souls, expansive souls that have truly, in just this short window of time, have expanded my mind in so many ways. And so I'm so thankful for this opportunity for them to share their message for the listeners, as I can already feel that they have so much to share that will help heal or transform the lives in some way. So feel free to use us all as a vessel to deliver whatever message you believe the community collectively needs to hear at this time. And may we just flow. I'm staying at their beautiful space called the Pineapple House in Canggu, Bali, and you may have already watched my Insta stories about it, and I'm gonna have some posts on it too that I really want you guys to see their beautiful space. And so they have
stories to share, and they have a purpose and a mission that they are fully living, and also the Pineapple House is a part of it too, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so one of you, either one of you can start, would love to hear more of both of your stories and how you got to where you are today.
So
this is Rachel.
Sorry, I'm Rachel. I started at the Pineapple House myself nearly 5 years ago. I was working on the boats professionally for 10 years as a sailor and a racer. Mm-hmm. And I sort of went through my own sort of version of sort of fatigue and exhaustion and burnout, and I came up against my Saturn returns.
Mm-hmm.
I was 27, and yeah, I really got whacked. I got whacked in so many ways. I blew many discs in my spine. I had a bit of a dependency on alcohol and some other bad habits, and I really recognized the need to make some big changes. So to sort of cut a really long story short, I left the boats and I became a yoga teacher, and I traveled around the world for a while teaching. And then I wound up in Bali running a retreat for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I came here specifically for that job. That job basically came to a bit of a spectacular end, as Bali can often do when something has sort of
completed itself,
yeah. And I always knew that I was meant to do my own thing. I'd been here for about a year and a half, and I just didn't want to leave when that job came to an end. I was like, oh my God, like I got to do something myself. So I literally just, you know, on a wing and a prayer, set up the Pineapple House, literally just rented a villa, threw all the money that I had into setting it up, and just crossed my fingers and hoped for the best. I had zero business knowledge at all. Like I said, I'd been sailing around the world for 10 years, and it worked.
You literally were just in the middle of the ocean for 10 years, pretty much.
Well,
right?
Not literally in the middle of the ocean, but I was sailing and racing. Like, I lived on boats for 10 years.
Not many people purchase property. You've made it happen,
yeah,
so you could make your dream happen of staying here.
Yeah.
That is so inspiring. Yeah. You just did it.
We did it. Well, I did it in the beginning, yeah. And we rent the properties, just to clarify.
In Indonesia, that's what...
Yeah, we can't buy.
We can't buy. Unless you're from this land.
Exactly, yeah. So that was kind of how I started Pineapple House, and what it started with or as was I had such fun here. You know, I mm-hmm. surfed, I did yoga, like I really enjoyed the Bali life, like I love the culture, I love the people, and I wanted people to have the experience that I have, rather than kind of going on a retreat and having something that's quite disconnected to the experience that I had. I wanted people to almost just come and do what I do. So that's how it was born. And then fast forward 4.5 years, and Lucy appears. And I'll let Lucy tell the story of how we met, but then we basically partnered in the Pineapple House. And now we are, what we talk about is like the maturation of the mm-hmm. Pineapple House, like maturing the Pineapple House to match our own kind of evolution and development.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's kind of Pineapple House 2.0.
Yeah, so it's beyond even just a, not just, but it's beyond a retreat space. You
yes,
guys are just evolving it
yeah.
to something very unique, which I'm very curious about.
Yeah, so I was originally trained as a professional contemporary dancer, and I danced in the UK and Austria, and I always surfed though, and that was always a bit of tension and conflict between the two, because you can never get a dance job where you can surf, mm-hmm. and often in the dance contracts you can't do any extreme sports. And that voice became louder and louder and louder, and just before Saturn's return at 27 it just became so loud to me. And I had a bizarre experience, and it's I'll cut it as short as I can, but basically I had an experience where a guy attacked me and tried to rape me in broad daylight in London. And 5 days later, and I got mild post-traumatic stress from that, but 5 days later I got an email saying that I'd won a surf camp in Portugal, and I don't even remember entering this surf camp. And I got this, and usually, because I was a workaholic back then and I had a bad relationship with money and I always felt like I had lack, usually I would have gone, oh, I'd love to do that, but like I've got work lined up for that and I really need the money. And I was like, no, I'm going. I just had this horror experience and I know that anyone, if I asked anyone, they would say go. And I went and I just had the best time. And that was the catalyst of this, what became a want and it now became a need. I was like, this can't just keep visiting the lifestyle that I want to live. I need to live the life I want to live. And I continued dancing for a short while. I was finishing a contract in Austria. And I came back and I remember just being, you know, just trying the dance auditions again and nothing came up. And just sitting with my mom, just being like, Mom, all I want to do is surf. Like, I want to be free. And to her credit, she said, then you've got to do that. And if it's so strong and you've got to go, you know, I remember saying, like, it might mean that I have to come visit you somewhere and I'm going to really miss you, but you have to follow that. And I stopped dancing then. I'd never danced again. And I did a teacher training and I just knew that this was the way that I was supposed to go. So I got a job in France. I then got a job in India, and the company that I was working for in India was a surf and yoga retreat space. And when I got there, I had taken over the job of this girl called Rachel. And everyone was like, oh, you would love Rachel. She was here before. And, you know, like, Rachel used to do it like this. Rachel used to do it like that. And sometimes I was like, oh, great. Rachel used to do it like that. And everyone was like, you just got to meet Rachel. And I just knew she was in Bali. And then the second year that I was with that company, I was offered a job in Bali to teach at a retreat. And a week before it got cancelled, and my friends in India were just like, just text Rachel, you know. And I messaged her and she was like, I've just opened the Pineapple House. Just come and stay for 3 nights and then you'll work out if you know, what do you want to do? Because I had 6 weeks before another job in Sumatra. And I came for 3 nights and I stayed for 6 weeks and I couldn't leave. And Rachel was staying at the Pineapple House at the time. So it was she and me, and then guests came and went. And during that time, I just fell in love with Bali. And I just, the first time since I'd left the UK, was like, I really want to build something here or just spend more time in teaching. And Rachel and I got on like a house on fire. And she said, well, actually, like, I could sponsor you. We could work this out. So she was totally my guide there. And yeah, so then I went home for the summer while the visa stuff was sorted and came back, and then she and I taught a couple of studios in the same place. And I, again, with like Rachel, like, I surf, I love the yoga here, I love the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We have such amazing community of women here, particularly great men as well, but really like the community of women we have here is so amazing. People just living life differently, but we've got each other's backs in the ups and downs of that. And yeah, we're so blessed. So yeah, I then met my ex-partner. We did long distance for a year. I moved to Oz to be with him. 2 years later, it became apparent that that wasn't working. I made my bravest decision I've ever made in my life, which was to leave him. And Rachel was just like, just come back to Bali, just be here, stay for a month. And I just needed to cry and sleep for 3 weeks. And yeah, and then I didn't know, but Rachel had been plotting and manifesting a plan. And yeah, after some time of letting me sleep and cry, she said, hey, look, I want you to partner with me if you're keen. And it was just a big fat hell yes. And now we share the Pineapple House, and we've now got yin yoga teacher trainings. We live together. Her daughter is my goddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
And luckily, we get on really well.
Yes. It is wild as well that, well, their synergy is truly magical, but also they slightly look alike. They look like sisters. It really is mind-boggling.
They sound the same.
Yeah, and they sound the same. They got the same accent. No.
Yeah, but the universe had something in mind when we came out.
This was all divinely planned together. Well, also, it's so beautiful when the universe does really reward when we make those very drastic decisions that are super hard, like breaking up with an ex for our own path, in a sense, because we know that's just right.
Yeah.
But then you are so rewarded mm-hmm. in ways that you couldn't even fathom, because yeah. that is a good power move for both of you.
Yeah.
For not just you, but also him as well.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah. And you know, the theory or the teachings of the more you surrender, the more you're supported is, you know, it resonates when you hear it, but mm-hmm. making that choice every single time it comes up mm-hmm. when it's that big is scary as hell every yeah. single time. It does yeah. not get easier. And the surrendering part feels so vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like, we've both had periods of that in our lives. You know, mm-hmm. Rachel going into solo motherhood, which is
mm-hmm. what, from pregnancy, from
conception. Solo motherhood.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah. So for me, bringing Lucy on board, like I had my baby, and my baby was, she would have been about one around the time when I started to think about the direction that I was taking my businesses in. So I wanted to move to taking my work more online and building teacher trainings.
Mm.
And I didn't know what to do with the pineapple houses. Like, I don't want to get rid of it or let it go because it's my baby.
Mm.
Yet I want to mature as a teacher and a coach and a mentor, and I can't do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in this kind of position where I had to basically surrender, because it was either like, well, I either kind of hold on to the pineapple house and actually just do something that I know isn't completely serving my highest good,
uh-huh.
or I surrender and I bring Lucy on board, you uh-huh. know, and actually giving, you know, letting somebody into half of what you've created is not an easy thing.
That's either. Big. Yeah. Like, being able to let go of that control and surrender to something that you have been working on for years, as in, that's a deep trust as well, though. So of course that would take time, and you'd have to find the right match and the right person, but you both clearly called each other in for many 100%. Different reasons. The fact that you now know you have the same mission, you both are partnering on something that is going to help heal those in many different ways, especially with what you both, it sounds like, are very deeply passionate about helping people out with right now, which we'll be talking about. Yeah, I honor you both for doing that and listening, because that takes a lot of strength, and that also takes a lot of trusting your intuitive guidance, which is not easy
mm. and often really scary.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's yeah. always scary. Somebody posted recently, actually, we always highlight, take the path of least resistance,
mm.
but what if you were to take the path of your highest resistance?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that going to lead you? Because mm-hmm. leaving the ex probably was a high resistant moment mm-hmm. at that time, mm-hmm. and letting go of full control could have been like your highest resistance, but at the same time, how rewarding.
100%.
And empowering.
Yeah.
And super empowering.
And it, you know, the universe works in so many mysterious ways, and it had to happen exactly when it happened, because I wasn't ready until I was ready to leave Jeff. We put so much into that. I learned so much, and I had to go dark before I came back up to the light. Yeah. And then it had to be that time for Rachel. She couldn't hold on any longer because everything, she was just stretching.
So much.
And then yeah. She had some family issues that she had to go back to the UK. So she mm-hmm. handed over the pineapple house and was like, see you later, bye. And I was like, oh, okay, I can yeah. do this.
Mm-hmm.
But the trust empowered me. You know, Rachel has an amazing way of, we do have a synergy and we're aligned, and that's why we're working together. But also she totally trusts me. And I'm sure there's times mm. when she's had to dip into that trust, but from the receiver's point, I don't in any way feel like she's trying to like give it to me but then still control. She's
yeah.
you know, we're it's so nice to be working with someone who totally trusts the direction that I envision, as well as the direction that Rachel has been building as well. Mm. And you know, it's good communication and trust and good alignment, and it's so far
really good manifestation.
Yeah, it's yeah, really yeah. good manifestation. Yeah. It's so interesting when stories come to you, and then do you ever hear that little whisper like, listen to this? I wonder if that was just a message for me in some way, because your own magic is, you know, my baby. So I think I just was like, received a message for, listen, it's not a right now I have to make any moves, but maybe something will come along.
Mm.
That is just a very big side note. All right, ladies, this Your Own Magic Special, female-founded feminine care brand, has been helping many of our lady listeners of this podcast during their very powerful time of the month, as they provide our periods with high quality products and even sexual wellness products made with natural ingredients. Now Lola has, they've got tampons, pads, liners, and cleansing wipes, and there are no toxins, dyes, or synthetic fibers. Hello, we do not want those. At least I don't. So that's why I'd rather not turn to most conventional feminine care brands, as they use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their period products. They treat those with harsh chemicals and cleansing agents and fragrances and dyes, and no thanks. But fortunately, not Lola. Lola, their period products are made with 100% organic cotton. So Lola wants to also make your period not only healthier, but also easier, as they provide customizable subscription boxes. So you can not only mix the products in the box that you prefer, but also the absorbency and then the frequency. It's super easy to just go on their site and edit your order, or you can change your delivery frequency, or you can even skip a month. And honestly, you can also just cancel your subscription at any time. I also want to note that every time you do choose Lola, you're supporting a brand that gives back to women in need. So to date, Lola has donated over 2 million period products and counting through their charity partner, I Support the Girls, and so much more advocacy, as they truly are making an impact. And they're also making an impact on the health during our periods and also making it easier on us. So Lola now offers 2 trial sets. And these trial sets feature a mixed assortment of the period products. So both sets include 6 compact applicator tampons. So 1 light, 2 regular, 2 super, 1 super plus, paired with either 2 ultra thin liners or 2 cleansing wipes. So when you purchase a trial set, you'll also be auto-subscribed to their full boxes of both products starting that following month. And then Lola, of course, will send you a reminder via email before your subscription even starts. So that way it's, you know, more of a risk-free way to try the products before making a monthly commitment. And better yet, not only are these trial sets $5, but Lola is offering you 30% off on top of that when you use the promo code MAGIC30 at checkout on mylola.com. Plus, I also just appreciate the convenience of having Lola delivered directly to my door with discreet packaging. And also, I'm all about their soothing, all-natural cleansing wipes. But honestly, most importantly, the convenience of, again, personalizing the assortment to fit the flower's needs. Especially since I'm mostly a naturalist, I do prefer something that does happen to be 100% cotton or something of the earth versus toxins and dyes and plastic applicators, yada yada. So, no need to question it. So they've got us. They've got us and our health conscious selves. It's never been easier to try Lola. Get started with a trial set today. Like I talked about earlier, you get 30% off your $5 trial set today by visiting mylola.com and entering the promo code MAGIC30. That's the number 30, MAGIC30, to redeem your offer. mylola.com and enter promo code MAGIC30. I'd like to segue into a big topic that you both are very well versed on and have been helping a lot of people out for, something that I think that pretty much everybody deals with, but nobody either A, admits it, or B, is aware of it.
Yeah.
Because it's a thing. This is like a real problem for most everybody. Exhaustion.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's an epidemic.
And even being in a very peaceful place like Bali, people still experience it. What's interesting is that I was feeling at ease and stuff, but because of my lack of sleep and the type of night I had last night, I woke up feeling so exhausted, and I haven't felt like that in so long. And I was like, Really? Divine timing, universe. I get it. Okay. The universe wanted me to feel it, to come in and just remember what exhaustion feels like. I was, you know, thinking, I was like, man, I don't know if I can do the interview today. My mind was trying to talk me out of it because I truly felt so exhausted and drained and like emotionally. I'm reacted to it physically.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. And so we'll indeed have to talk all about it. Yeah. How do you both define exhaustion?
For me, I think the simplest way to define exhaustion is that your energy output is greater than your energy input.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just expending more energy than you're putting in. And when we talk about putting energy in, it's like in a wholesome way. Like, how are you supporting yourself to build your energy so that you have a surplus? Because we want to kind of get to the end of the day with a surplus of energy. We actually don't want to be getting to the end of the day drained.
I feel like a vegetable a lot of the time. Yeah. Towards the end of the day, I'm just like, I don't want to do anything. Yeah. Just like, leave me alone. Yeah. Mindless.
You know, and one of the ways that we can define kind of optimum health and therefore not being exhausted,
mm-hmm.
is by finishing the day still with energy to spare.
Wow.
Which I think is unusual for many people.
Yeah. But what about if you want to go to sleep? There's a difference because you want to be tired, but if you have energy, I think that.
So it's different. It's a different type of energy. It's not that wired awake energy. It's just not
you
feeling
feel good.
Depleted
oh,
on
yeah,
a cellular
yeah, yeah.
level. Whereas yeah. I know for myself, as a relatively new mum that's still breastfeeding, like I get to the end of the day and I am exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that because I am supporting a child because I'm still breastfeeding, my energy output is way more than my energy input
for
at the
sure.
moment.
For sure.
And I think it's what's worth talking about as well is that we have periods naturally in our lives or maybe at work where there is going to be more energy output. And then what we see is that there is no break from that. So there is no coming down and then having a period of recovery. So there is energy output or a high intense or stressful period. Maybe it's at work, maybe there's stuff going on at home, and or maybe you have a goal, you know, and your fitness, you know, you want to be able to do X, Y, and Z, but there's no break from that. Mm-hmm. And then you go on to the next one and the next one. So there is a pendulum that naturally will swing from one side to the other, and being in balance for me or living with energy is not pushing myself. There are periods where that you can do more, but it's really taking care of yourself, knowing that you have had this period where physically or emotionally or intellectually you have, you know, pushed the boundaries and you want to thrive and you want to explore new things and you want to push yourself. And I get all of that. It's having that understanding and also that commitment and that love and compassion to yourself to know that coming down, especially when your mind's been racing, you know, you're completing a project at work, and knowing that if you do less, it doesn't mean that you're not going to achieve things in your life. Nothing's going to be lost. You're not going to suddenly dip into a deep, dark despair where you can't find that achievement or that expression again. Mm-hmm. It's a pendulum that goes between the two. Mm-hmm. And exhaustion is when there is no pendulum swinging the other way. And the body will make you come back to balance whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And the body will do it, in my experience and my perception of how I see a lot of the clients and guests that Rachel and I see at the Pineapple House or in our coaching or teaching, is that the pendulum has gone so far one way. This happened to me. I was not stopping. And in all kinds of ways, it's not just one way. It's not just physically or whatever it is. Everything was 100 miles an hour. And I had those little signs to help me slow down. And I just thought of them as an inconvenience to my goal and my to-do list. And the way that the pendulum swung for me was adrenal fatigue, because my body knew that if it was going to grind me to a halt, which I needed to do, it had to take all my energy away. It had to make me into a vegetable. because I'd had those signs before. My periods are gone, my hair started falling out, like I had other stuff happening, and I was just like, God, this is annoying, you know? I don't have time for this, because like I've already set the goal of like X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And in my head, that's a good thing. So it's just an inconvenience that, like, you know, it feels tiring at the time. And I had to swing the other way. And, you know, I can see other forms of exhaustion in other people. And it's so individual. Like, there's not one thing. It's not like you get the flu and therefore that equals exhaustion. It has to be in a way that the body speaks to you as an individual. Some people, that's taking their ankles or their knees out and giving them an injury to grind them to the hole. Sometimes it's... sometimes it's, you know, a disease or a you know, something that's, when you look at who they are, you're like, this grinding to the hole is perfect. Because if it was any other way, they would push through, or maybe it was another way and they did push through, but it is perfect for that individual.
Yeah.
And so my recovery out of adrenal fatigue has to be learn how to swing between those two balances and to allow myself to thrive in areas physically, emotionally, everything. But then also to take care of myself and to be brave to slow down and stop. And for me, it is brave because I'm scared of it. And some people are okay with slowing down, and maybe going out and expressing themselves outward is brave because it scares them. That's not how I was born into this world. I don't need help ramping myself up, but I need to be brave every time I slow down, every single time, because for me, my mind will instantly go into like, but if you stop now, like, but you said you were going to get this done, and that might not happen, and you know, you'll miss out on that. And but I know better now, because the pendulum swung so far the other way, and it had to go that far. I had to see what the darkness looked like on that side. I don't want to ever go back there again.
Yes, we need those dark moments to wake us up to the light 100%. And it's interesting how it's that conscious choice, because your soul will give you signs, your body will physically give you signs, but what's the challenge is that conscious choice. And being like, all right, this is what I know I feel is right for me at this time, though it sucks, and all these other things. I just got to trust and surrender, back to surrender, the universe, that this will turn out better for me if I listen and just rest for a moment.
And having compassion for myself every time I hear that voice starting to give me a million reasons why I can't slow down. It's self-care for me is commitment to myself. And stepping up for myself when it feels scary. And it's the commitment to go, you know, I can hear you, Lucy, and I hear that this is, that you want to get X, Y, and Z done, and that's okay. It's also okay to just step back and take some time out. And the journey out, and Rachel and I have both had experiences on our own way, and obviously they're individual because we're individuals. But what we love passing on now is the practices that help you bring you back to balance, particularly for those go-go-goers. And the knowledge to understand really what you're doing to your body and what you're doing to your whole nervous system when you go that far in the other way of the pendulum. And we have to do it with love and compassion for ourselves and for other people, because we get them. Like, you know, when I see someone depleted, I'm just like, I totally get you. I was that.
Which is one of the most healing things, especially the first step, is to be understood and seen and have that compassion. So just being able to hear like, oh, I'm not the only human right now that is super depleted and going through this and feels worthless at this time because I can't do anything, though I want to do everything, or vice versa. But somebody that has been in their shoes.
Yeah. And you know, we're in a time now where everything, there's so much choice, you know, we have so much choice. There's so much available for us. And, you know, by all accounts, life's getting easier if you think about technology and how things are getting streamlined. Yet we are being more challenged by life because there is, you know, we basically have lost boundaries around being able to sort of choose and be able to discern and realize that we can't have it all at once. And I know for myself, like I still struggle with that. You know, I want to study this and do this all at the same time. So I'm constantly having to bring myself back, but that overwhelm and that feeling as though I'm constantly being stimulated by these little dangling carrots in front of me add to that. So it's constantly having to check in. It's not just that situation of like, oh wow, I've got it. I've mastered this mm-hmm. idea
no way.
Of space. Like
yeah.
it's a constant practice. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we, you know, we're both super passionate about educating and guiding people on, is this constant showing up to your practices that help to kind of ground and stabilize you in this kind of constantly changing and busy environment.
Actually, it's really hard to make that conscious choice to show up because you want to do so much. It's paralyzing sometimes where it almost numbs you. It exhausts you, but it numbs you to want to even do one thing because there's so many options.
And that's a really strong indicator that you're reaching exhaustion. When I had adrenal fatigue, I would cry at the choice of... So I ended up collapsing at my friend's wedding and having to be drone home. And then I was on my bed or the sofa for about 2 months and then slowly had to come up from that. But I couldn't do anything. I would be at my mum's place. Luckily, I could be taken care of. And I would cry at the choice of herbal teas that I was going to make myself. Like, the choice was too much. And I was so wrapping it up with my own self-worth of being useless because I couldn't do anything. And that choice as well. And that was on the extreme side. But I have seen people who have entered into that exhaustion and decisions become overwhelming. And it's not that suddenly a decision is overwhelming. You've crept through mm-hmm. to that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I came back to Bali, I was experiencing signs of exhaustion. And the experience was completely different because I knew what was happening. I was in an environment where I felt safe. You know, I was staying here at Rachel's house and I was like, right, okay, I've got to take care of this straight away. So I just took loads of things off my list and I couldn't even surf and I only did grounding practices.
Wow.
Whereas 3 years before I would have been like, well, it's really frustrating that I can't do this sort of stuff. So I'm just going to push my way through.
Mm. Or try to like fit it all in.
Yeah.
But no, you just had that period of grounding only.
Yeah.
No yang.
Mm.
All yin.
Yeah, and just trust that the other side was
was
not this.
So before we talk about your practices, what are some symptoms that might arise within people that from mild to even severe signs of exhaustion that people most often experience? Because to be honest, a lot of people, this might not even come to mind and they might not have any idea that they are experiencing exhaustion and that's what's holding them back.
Yeah, I think a little bit like as Lucy's touched on, like it really is so different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, more at the beginning of the spectrum, like just this constant feeling of just feeling fatigued, like perhaps... Mm-hmm. Not having that real lackluster for life, like maybe just being kind of despondent, just that sort of meh feeling about everything, in like indecision, as Lucy mentioned, is a really big one. Just not being able to focus, not feeling grounded. So one of the things that I observe a lot in people, I'm going to say women because mostly we coach and mentor women, is being really unpresent.
Mm.
So the more that we are stressed, the more that we're busying, the energy in our body kind of moves upwards into our head. So, you know, if you think for most of us, I'm going to say pretty much everybody that's listening to this, like your mind's on overdrive, you know, what we call the monkey mind. And the more that we get stressed, the less space that we give ourselves, the more that we fill ourselves up, the more that the energy of our body moves upwards into, like, and it overheats and over agitates an already overheated and agitated mind. So then we end up with this mind that's on overdrive and we become really disconnected to our body. So not only does that result in feeling and being very unpresent. Like, we've all had that experience where we've been talking to somebody and they're just kind of glazing right through us, right? Mm-hmm. Or it might even have been us ourselves when somebody's talking to us and we just kind of, our eyes kind of go a bit boss-eyed and we sort of don't take anything in, you know, and that to me is a sign that somebody's on that edge of, you know, sliding down, just not being grounded, not being present.
I can really relate to what Rachel's saying. Yeah. And I think what's worth understanding as well is how your body reacts to stress. And if you think of when we have a stress, let's say it used to be more of a primal stress of a tiger chasing us, we'd have a flood of adrenaline followed by cortisol in our body to save our life. So to send energy to the extremities so that we can be externally focused, so that we can see what's happening around us with high alert, so that we can work out the best way to save ourselves, fighting, fleeing, you know, freezing until we understand the situation. And what's happening now is that response is happening from perceived stress. And I say perceived because it's a stress that we have perceived from an email or a discussion where we felt unheard or unsafe, but our body has the same reaction. And when our body switches into this sympathetic nervous system, into this nervous system where we are on high alert, there is no ability to look in and reflect, because that's not going to save your life in this immediate situation. And over time, when your body is constantly getting this flood of high alert hormones, your body doesn't think that you've got a saber-toothed tiger. It thinks you're in some sort of chronic danger, like war or famine. And so your body's like, what is a priority to keep me alive in this situation? And what is not a priority is having babies. So periods often go out of whack. What is not a priority is digesting our food. What is not a priority is detoxifying the body. These are all luxuries when we feel safe. And if we are telling our body we are not in a safe environment, our body doesn't know the difference between you running around wanting to do X amount of exercise and also starting 3 brands and traveling and pleasing your boss and pleasing your mom. Like, your body doesn't know the difference between all these stresses and what it perceives as what it tries to work out. Okay, what the hell is going on out there for me to have this constant need for all these yang, what we call yang hormones? And so over time, like when I see women for private class or a consultation, I'll say, how are your periods? How's your sleep? And how's your digestion? And how busy are you at home? Like, on a scale of 1 to 4. And they are really good indicators that your body is making the best choice it can. It's amazing. It's not failing you. It's teaching you. And that's what I didn't realize, is that I was inconvenienced by all these things that were going wrong. I wasn't being taught by my body, which knows best every single time. It's making the best possible choices to keep you alive and thriving. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have to do this now because later when it's safe, we'll thrive in other ways. But you never give it that space to feel safe. And so the practices, if you do have a full life, is to commit to practices that bring you into the parasympathetic nervous system so that your body will naturally detoxify, naturally bring the inflammation down, naturally assimilate the nutrients. Doesn't matter how good your diet is. You could put the best possible foods inside your body. If your body is not in a safe place to digest them, they're just going to go through as an inconvenience. And we hear the story all the time of couples trying to get pregnant, and they're trying and they're really stressed about it, and it had to be now, and I'm turning, you know, X whatever date that they have told themselves they have to get pregnant by, and, you know, is it me, is it my partner, and they go through IVF, and then they just give up, the whole thing's so stressful, and they go on holiday, and they relax, and they get pregnant. That happened to a friend of mine, because their body's like, oh, now we're in a safe environment to have a kid. And I know that there's tons of reasons for digestion problems, tons of reasons for infertility, but if our body is not able to do what it naturally wants to do, if we don't give it the environment that tells it it's safe to do it, it keeps you safe in an extreme environment rather than keeps you thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about teaching our body how to relax. It's just giving it space to do what it wants to do.
Oh,
it's doing it all the time. And honoring our bodies and honoring the messages that it's giving us all the time and learning to speak its language again, rather than coming from the thinking mind of what's convenient, what's not convenient, or what my daddy expected of me, or what society expects us of women.
Or to be even everything. The thinking mind thinking, right now my body probably needs a yin yoga class because I've been yang for so long, but the mind thinking that versus the body telling you that. There yes. really is, because we will also be, and we'll be talking about practices in a bit, I think it's important for us to distinguish what our body really wants versus what we're being told we should do for our body. For example, you talked about eating healthy food, so we think that this is what our body might need at this time, but what if it also, because I actually had a period of time where I needed to be more lax about food because my obsession with healthy food was actually making my body not digest properly because I wasn't just feeling normal or fine or lax about food. So then when I started to relax about that, my body started to respond to that. When you both were talking, by the way, I just have to say that all of a sudden, I almost feel like I have ears on every fiber of my being when it comes to my body's like, listen to this.
Soak it up.
Yeah, soak it up. Ugh.
And just on that topic of body listening, most of us, I know I talk for myself, like I wasn't taught how to listen with my body. I came from, a British family with a very formal education that was all about like intellect and intelligence and thinking. The emphasis was on mind. It was on thinking. So even though I was very sporty and athletic as a kid, it was still all about like thinking and mind. And so the messages of the body and what we're talking about in terms of like how do these little messages start to show up, for example, if you're exhausted, or how do we listen to intuition? It comes in space and in stillness.
Yeah.
And the messages are subtle. So if you are constantly busy, if you're constantly doing and you're ramping up this young aspect of yourself, which is sort of mind, which is noise, which is kind of externalization, you're not able to hear the messages of the body and the intuition. Like so many times I get asked, or it comes up in sessions with students or clients, like, well, how do I listen to that? How do I know? How do I, not only how do I hear it, but then how on earth do I trust?
That's a big one.
Right, because so many people make decisions that they perceive to be bad decisions because they make them from the mind. And then they just keep using, the mind keeps deciding, and the mind is agitated and busy and firing and heated. And they keep making what they see as like bad decisions, and then they lose that faith because they're making decisions from agitation and mind rather than from intuition and body and deep listening.
That deep listening as well, like you said, really comes in that silent space, and it is not forced. That's why I sometimes hesitate to put a timer on my meditations, because sometimes, especially when things are super chaotic, I like need the time. I'm getting chills of my ears. That's interesting.
It's not the aircon.
It's not the aircon. It is not, actually. I don't even feel it.
And the ears are related to the kidneys, which is the kidney meridians related to our energy and our get up and go and our ability to be able to hear.
Yeah.
And kidneys is where we store our xing in traditional Chinese medicine, which is the energy that we're given as we're born,
our life force.
And this is all knowledge that, I mean, because everybody obviously is going through something different, so their signs are going to be in different places. However, I do think that there might be a way for us to voice. It's challenging, because you were talking about the body's language, the language with the body. So we think like, oh, we are going to hear what our body wants in a way that is verbalized for us in English or some sort of language in which we understand because we were taught this language from childhood. But it's not necessarily like that. It doesn't have an alphabet. It is its own language that only really, and I'm getting chills, only really you and your body, your soul know.
Mm. And I think that's a really good starting point. If some people are unsure as to like how the hell do they translate or know. And although you might not have any idea how to fix it, how to change things, there is something. You know if something's not right.
Yeah.
Even if you can't put a finger on it, even if you can't use the word exhaustion, depletion, or anything like that, you know you're not living your fullest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough, I think, for some people to start the journey of seeking help from people who do know and start the journey of getting back in touch with the communication with your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all do know that. We know when we're not fully living and thriving. And I think what's challenging in yang environments, let's say environments where everyone else is busy,
mm-hmm.
and is that you see it around you, so you think it's normal. But then also, I think people, you know, we have a friend who's recovered from chronic fatigue, which is like a step further from adrenal fatigue. It's like when you push through adrenal fatigue. And she's now living back in London, and she is so courageous in the way that she is committed to living a balanced life in a yang environment. But when you make steps and choices that are really clear with your boundaries about how much energy you can put out versus how much energy you need to put back in, it can sometimes really be confronting for the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I remember saying, yeah, you know what, I'm not going to come tonight. I'd love to see you. Can we see you another day? And you often get, oh, come on, like, just come out. Or, you know, like, you know what, today I'm just going to back off from this. Or like, well, why are you doing that? And that's more of a reflection of where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And their monkey mind being like, no, don't. If you slow down, then it just flags up the fact that I'm going a million miles an hour. And so it takes a lot of courage to really step that path in a more yang environment when you don't have the other people cheering you on around you, because you start triggering other people. And it's about still going, I know that that's where you're at, but it's not where I'm at right now. And I need to be brave in this decision. And it's interesting to start observing other people's reactions when you start making those steps, because they might not be there yet and they're on their own journey.
Yeah. Especially if they're used to you complying to it. That is another thing. But the good news is it does seem people are starting to honor others' rhythms and boundaries more and more and more, because that is super important for everyone's healing.
Yeah. And, you know, Rachel and I are really big on finding the people and surrounding ourselves with people who have got our backs and got each other's backs.
Yeah.
Because then when you mess up, you've got someone who you can go and be like, ugh, I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm knackered again.
Mm-hmm.
And finding people that are already on that path. Like, I love this phrase that your habits are not your own. Your habits are a collection of the people that you spend all your time with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're spending time, a lot of time, with people who are just constantly doing and constantly busy and never stopping, the chances are you're going to get swept up in that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, start to look for those people that do have slower practices, that do embrace both this idea of yin, which is the slowing and the feminine and the soothing and the cooling, but also have that balance, you know, of the yang. So it is about balance.
Yeah.
Because excess yin is stagnation. And so, we don't see this problem as much, but there is.
It's actually a very big thing, because one of my main questions I get every time I do a Q&A.
And finding people that are already on that path. Like, I love this phrase that your habits are not your own. Your habits are a collection of the people that you spend all your time with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're spending time, a lot of time, with people who are just constantly doing and constantly busy and never stopping, the chances are you're going to get swept up in that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking, start to look for those people that do have slower practices, that do embrace both this idea of yin, which is the slowing and the feminine and the soothing and the cooling, but also have that balance, you know, yes, of the yang. So it is about balance.
Yeah.
Because excess yin is stagnation. And so, we don't see this problem as much, but there is.
It's actually a very big thing, because one of my main questions I get every time I do a Q&A, at least two or three people, at least. And usually I get a variety of different questions, but every single time I always get the question, what do I do if I feel stuck? What if I do if I feel stagnant, paralyzed? Mm. And I've been there as well, where I want to just stay in bed. And I mean, that was a period of depression, of course, you know, where you just don't know what to do, yeah, or can't find the energy, muster up the energy to do anything.
That depends on how you've got there.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens in exhaustion situations, it depends whether it's come from exhaustion, is that oftentimes you kind of go in this sort of kind of upward curve slightly, where you feel like really wired,
yeah,
and you feel like you've kind of got more energy, but it's really empty energy, and then you come crashing down, and you can come crashing down into depression. So if that's happened, then you don't actually want to be, say, going to the gym to start to try to like move some jump of that start. Like mm-hmm. that move some of that like excess yin. You actually need to support more with yin. But if you're mm-hmm. if you've got to that place through simply kind of lethargy and not being very active, period, and you haven't gone through exhaustion beforehand, then you can start to potentially look at adding more yang style activities or movement practices slowly.
I feel deep, deep appreciation for my sponsors who continue to want to extend with the Yomis and stick around as they are providing real value for you and this podcast, this entity. And so thank you so much, Skillshare, for continuing to sponsor Your Own Magic. For those of you who are curious about exploring over 30,000 courses that will fuel your creativity and also your career and help you enhance in whatever skill you have been intending to expand upon, well, Skillshare, my friend, is for you. And they actually have a 2-month deal for you for free when you go to skillshare.com/your own magic. And these classes, they unlock that fire within you to create from your passion, from your heart, start a little side hustle, a new little business, or perhaps even something in the creative realm with Instagram, podcasting, and YouTube. And there are many design courses, many business courses, and a lot of teachers that many adore, such as Erin Draplin, Roxane Gay, Simon Sinek, and so many more acclaimed creators that share their knowledge with you. Join the millions of students and the thousands of Yomis that are taking Skillshare to enhance some sort of skill in some sort of field, or just learn something brand new, when you go to skillshare.com/your own magic, and you will get 2 months for free. In the past, I have taken a couple of their writing courses. I love how they laid out with different modules to build up to a certain level of creativity. And then each new module, I remember, would become a little more challenging, a little more thought-provoking, yet at the same time allowed me to let go of my mind, the blocks, and simply just flow. So again, that's skillshare.com/your own magic and get your 2 months for free. And there's no commitments, you can cancel at any time.
I was in London, actually. I was living in London during this period of time when I was going through my most recent depression, and I felt paralyzed. I felt like I couldn't do anything, but then I was forcing myself to go to the gym to try to find that energy.
Right.
But that wasn't resonating, so that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think if you've had a long period of yang, you need a long period of yin.
I had a long period of yin where I was non-stop.
Yeah. And when you're in that long period of yin, because we've resisted it for so long, the thing that I keep having to come back to is trust.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, I don't feel like I've got the energy to go out and face the world. Tomorrow, I don't feel like I have the energy to go out. And just keep coming back to the practices that will nourish you, and trust it will come back.
Can we talk about the practices?
Sure.
I would love to get some insight. What are your top practices, depending on the type of exhaustion?
So both of us have a pretty strong interest in both Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine. So we kind of pick and mix, because both Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine talk about this concept of yin and yang.
And everyone's different.
And everybody's different. And so one of the things that I love about Ayurveda is we talk about this idea of spanda, which is this constant expansion and contraction. So you, like, I might have, say, a really solid set of practices that I'm, you know, really committed to, and then something will happen and those practices will go. And of course then the stories come up. And, you know, that I can't believe I haven't meditated today, or I haven't done this. And then I come back to this idea of spanda, that we are constantly expanding and contracting, and that we have to contract back to kind of like realign and be like, well, where am I at now? Because you can't just carry on with the same meditation day in, day out, year in, year out. It doesn't work that way.
I gave myself such a hard time when I couldn't do it anymore. Mm. I literally couldn't allow do it anymore. Yeah.
You know, and we are constantly evolving.
Yeah.
You know, constantly evolving. So our practices have to evolve with us, basically. But, you know, for me, typically my practices are, there will be some form of meditation and breath work once or twice a day, typically in the morning when I wake up, and in the evening. I'm pretty good on, for example, not right now because I'm having some sleep challenges with my little baby, but I'm pretty good at not checking my phone first thing in the morning. So giving the biggest thing for me is like giving myself that space in the morning, so that I'm not kind of hit by the world when I'm at my most sensitive. Because in Ayurveda, we talk about this idea called Brahma Muhurta, which is the very early time in the morning before the sun wakes up, which is when you're at your most sensitive on every level. So whatever we do in that time, or, you know, if you're not waking up before the sun, whatever you do in that first block of time when you're awake has the most impact on the rest of your day.
True.
So if you get woken up by beep, 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 or the news, some people still get woken up by the news on the radio.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that enters their consciousness, right? And this is going to set the course of your day so differently than if you were even just to take 5 minutes and just stretch your arms into the sky, touch the floor, and take a few deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
Like the difference between beep, 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 and is honestly exponential.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's different for everyone as well. Like for me, spending time in nature, just coming back to who we are, because the stuff that we fill our days with is often stuff that our heads made up, like that we should be doing. And what we are is, we are one, and we are one with nature. It's not us viewing nature, us versus nature. We are nature. However, how could we ever be separate unless our mind creates that illusion that we're separate?
Mm-hmm.
So what's been amazing is moving in with Rach is that there are two dogs. And so just when I came back to Bali, and I was so depleted, you know, obviously when you go through a breakup, you start processing stuff that's been wanting to be processed throughout the whole time. It's not just like you're processing just the breakup. And I was so tired, but just walking barefoot or walking with the dogs, yoga nidra. There's a studio here that has specific restorative and then yoga nidra and restorative hatha classes, and I couldn't even think about going to a more energetic class, because I was like, oh man, that sounds exhausting. I just had to keep coming back to something that lengthened my exhale, because your exhale that's long tells you you're safe. Before I think I've only just recently done I started doing some more energetic hatha classes not long ago, like maybe a couple of months, because I was like, I just feel like I need to just keep topping up. And so it's, for me, it's doing things that are slow, and walking the dogs is so amazing because you're walking. And here in Bali, nobody walks because you're on a scooter all the time. And then when you're in the, like, you know, we live outside in the paddy fields out here, mm-hmm. and we go into Canggu, which is where we live. It's busy in there. And we're really lucky to live in a place where we can just walk straight out the door and be surrounded by nature. Yeah. So, and the obviously the other huge practice that Rachel and I teach and do is yin yoga,
yeah.
which entered my life just after my adrenal fatigue. I didn't even know the concept of yin, let alone yin yoga. I was like, what, there's a spectrum? I remember being so devastated that I wasn't Superwoman. Like, I was mourning the Superwoman I never was.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know that I can be Superwoman in that kind of more typical, like, go get things way. But I match it with going in with my tea and the dogs and being quiet for a while. And yin yoga, when it was introduced to me, was just like a penny dropping. And I was like, oh, stillness, like real stillness. And it's a challenging practice because if anyone hasn't done it before, you hold more passive stretches for a number of minutes. You're in stillness and the sensations can be quite strong in your body because you're opening up a part of the body that, you know, that you're targeting. And what are you left with? You're left with the sensations and you're left with your thoughts. So you have to face them. There's no running away from them. Or if you're courageous enough, you face them. And just being still and allowing myself to witness what was there rather than chasing after what I wanted to get, that my mind had told me what I wanted to get, was so profound for me. Yeah. It was the starting point of my new life,
mm-hmm.
or my new understanding. And yin yoga has been a tool that both Rachel and I have used so much, and it's been so pinnacle in our journey.
Yeah.
And we teach this a lot. I mostly teach yin now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I love and teaching yang classes.
Both of you are very, as far as just naturally lean towards like a yang, want to wake up and go, 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 right? Just naturally before yes. you have to consciously be like, all right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you crave the yin now, I'm sure.
Yes.
But yeah.
Oh,
and it's totally. Kind of like we talked about earlier as well, is it's not like we've mastered being yin.
Oh,
it's
no.
a
right.
constant reminder. Yeah. We yeah. constantly, like, we're both quite young by nature. We're both super driven.
Yeah.
You know, I've got massive dreams and aspirations.
Yeah.
And so I have to, like, again, like, if we go back to Ayurveda, this, again, this idea of expansion and contraction, right? In order to expand to the extent of the possibilities that we want, we
yeah.
have to be able to contract as well. Like, you know, we have to go, be able to go as deep as we want to go high.
Yeah.
So the bigger yeah. that you want to go, the more you want to do, the higher you want to reach, the deeper you've got to learn to go. And
Ooh.
The stiller you've got to learn to be.
Ooh. I want to overview this a second. So one, start your morning with silence or your breath, nothing that is going to interrupt you. Or honestly, one of the reasons why I'm in Bali is I love starting my morning with the roosters. They for some reason call me be nature.
Yeah.
So
and it's present.
That one, yes.
And just intention, like intentionality.
Intentionality.
Start the day with intention.
Intentionality.
Whatever that is, whether it is with the roosters, whether it is walking mm-hmm. you know, barefoot on the floor, whether it's meditating. Be intentional.
Be intentional in the knowing that that really is going to help the remainder of your day in some way. Even though chaos will still arise,
mm-hmm.
there's a good chance a storm is going to hit at some point. Maybe not that day, maybe not that week, but there will be another one.
And when it does hit, you don't want it to topple you over.
Exactly.
And if you're already full and wired and filling your day and reactive,
yeah.
a lot of this comes from being so full, you're so reactive
yeah.
to what happens around you. And so the snowball gets bigger and bigger because what might not stress you or trigger those yang hormones mm-hmm. is now stressing you out. Someone said something in a tone that was slightly off, and you're just like, in your head, you're like, F you, I'm going to like, how dare she? Does she know what I'm going through? Whereas if you're in a place of calmness, you can have more compassion. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to, we're both really interested in communication, nonviolent communication. And man, that tests your reactions. Because you have to be so freaking honest with yourself, because you can tell yourself some pretty strong stories as to why you're right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My mind is very triggery. Yeah.
And I was listening to an interview with this couple who do a lot of marriage counseling, but also now to the wider community, because communication is so key with everyone you speak with. Mm-hmm. And the guy in it said something that made total sense to me, which is when you are spoken to or speak with a tone that is sharp or defensive or anything that's not kind of like, I've got you, love and compassion, let's have a dialogue about this, it triggers cortisol. Cortisol is your, I need to stay alive. So when you are triggered, when you are flooded with cortisol, you are externally focusing. You are keeping yourself alert and looking for danger. You're looking for that person to attack you. And when you're in that place, you can't be compassionate. That means you can't be, because if you think of yourself being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, you're not going to be like, oh, have you not eaten today? Do you want my arm? You know, you're like, get me out of here. So you then can't be compassionate towards yourself. And that means being really listening to the underlying current of what's going on here, or hear the other person and hear what's underneath their tone. So if you're externally focused, because you're constantly got adrenaline and cortisol flooded in your body, you're not able to be non-reactive to someone else's whatever going on in their day, fill in the gaps. And then that's another trigger, and it's adding to this story. So when you're coming from a place of stillness and you're starting your day with intention, like Rachel talked about, then also you're able to observe things for what they are and not how you interpret them. That person is having a shitty day, and so they're saying it in a tone, they haven't got the energy right now to be able to navigate this in another way, or the tools, whatever it is. I hear them, I'm not gonna let them walk over me, this is not about letting your boundaries down, but I'm not gonna be tipped over the edge and then go into continual story and to continue this story to your body and to snowball this whole thing. So it's that place of awareness and starting your day and the practices. We keep coming back to who you are and being observant of who you are and what's going on around you also helps with this continual story of fight or flight versus coming back to calm.
Yes, and that is, again, back to conscious decisions, conscious choices. The narratives are likely to arise because we've trained our minds since we were children to come up with these stories, these narratives about what is going on, what we perceive this world to be externally.
Yeah.
And constantly, I mean, I still, though I talk about this a lot, I still always have to remind myself that this is my story. This is a perception. And is this perception serving me or the situation?
Rachel and I are massive Brené Brown fans.
Oh,
in her book, Rising Strong, she talks about the story you're telling yourself. And I've used that with my ex-partner, and it changed so much. And if you are communicating with someone who's really into this as well, you know, and allowing you to have your story, then, you know, and Rachel and I often use this sentence of the story I'm telling myself is, and then you're accepting that it's a story. And then you're also saying to the other person, just listen for a moment, but the story that I'm telling myself, just help me navigate this. This is how I'm reacting to it. And I realize it's a story. Can you help me just find the truth under this? Especially if someone's on board with this, they can just hear you.
Yeah.
Not fix things.
Yeah.
Not try and resolve it.
And being Mrs. Advice, which sometimes you don't want. You just want to be heard. And also my recent quote-unquote break or whatever, we both had that languaging of from my perception, from my story.
Yes.
And realize that we both were indeed in different positions when it came to our stories. Everybody wears a completely different lens, obviously, but my mind was very triggered by Mama Bali, Will Rapsood, but she brought certain situations into my life right before the Nepal trek, where I was creating the same story about almost every person that was entering as how they saw me, because I was letting go of something from childhood of abandonment, which I'm still getting over abandonment issues. Mm-hmm. And so there would be silence from these people, like every single person that, you know, I thought I had a great connection with, which I did, but it was just Mama Bali or something showing me that I had this story with everybody, because they would always come back around, and there wasn't any story that I had created on their end. So it was just really interesting to witness my mind come up with these stories and realize how much of an illusion that was, and unnecessary, because it did create more exhaustion. It took a toll on me for a bit, for so many people.
And that's the real challenge with stress and hormones, is that as soon as we get on that bus, it keeps on going.
Yeah.
Like the more stress that we perceive, and stress is perception, it's not real. And that's a whole nother really massive conversation. But the more that we perceive we're in stress, the more our hormones ramp up. The more our hormones ramp up, the more our body responds to the stress, and our mind responds to the stress negatively. Mm. And then the stories continue, and then we feel more stressed, and then more hormones get released, and we keep on going and going. And the more that we do that, the more we cloud our body, the more we cloud our mind, and the more reactive we become. So then the less space we have. So then the less space we have to ask ourselves those reflective questions of, like, is that my story? Is that my stuff? Or is that... And you see, so this is how we end up on this vicious cycle of stress and story and stress and story and stress and story.
So how do you guys let go of those stories? How do you shift them?
Space. Mm-hmm. For me, it's space. First, it's
that silent space.
Writing or talking the stories out.
Yeah.
Because when you say the story I'm telling myself, I realize how ridiculous it is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's, you know, great. Like Rachel and I had a conversation yesterday about two different situations we'd have, and about the stories that we were bringing to those situations. Mm-hmm. And I was noticing myself get really agitated about the situation, and then, you know, kept, you know, just being able to say, can you just listen to my story? Mm-hmm. And so I can just voice that it's a story. And it's about also being around people who you can safely say that to, because that's a very vulnerable place to be. And if you're around someone who's just like, well, that's stupid, and you're like, oh God, I know. I'm just like, just hear me out.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, sometimes it's like 5 days later and I'm like, God, I've been reacting about that story for 5 days, you know? Mm-hmm. Or you realize that you're reacting on a story that you created when you were 7.
Yeah.
You know,
and
those beautiful moments, you're like, oh, I'm doing a story right now. They're the best ones, because you're like, I don't even have to carry on with this story.
Yes.
But most of the time, it's like, last week I was doing that.
It's the time when you're letting that energy go. That's what I love of that moment happened, because it's like, oh, this is something that I was holding it within since childhood, that it wants to go right now, so I'm releasing it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we have like 5 minutes. So I want to wrap up. This was so healing and helpful, by the way, for even myself. I'm sitting here and I'm like, my body, like I told you, I felt like I had ears on my pores. Like, oh, listen to this.
Yeah. Yes,
I do. Yes. But I ask all my guests this last question. How would you advise your own magic listeners to create their own magic?
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Your magic you already have, and this is something Rachel and I have been discussing a lot recently, you already have it. It's just accepting that you have it. And not being afraid of it. And allowing the universe to show it to you. You don't have to add anything to get it.
Mm.
You are already it. And to strip back all those limiting beliefs that you're not, you have to do more to get more, or do more to be more, that it's already there. You just have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And although that might sound as a concept really weird, because you're like, well, I want it, so why can't I accept it? but you're sitting on it already and believing on a deep cellular level that it's there.
Mm-hmm. Even if you don't feel like you see it.
Mm.
It's that faith, it's that trust that we were talking about.
It's a realization rather than a searching.
Mm-hmm.
When people go seeking, they're seeking something outside of themselves, mm-hmm. that inherently lives within.
Yes.
So it stops seeking and turn inwards.
It's there. Like you believe in perhaps God, source, universe, or you believe in the love of your parents. It's not that you need to seek it.
Mm.
You are it.
It's there.
You are it.
That's beautiful. Thank you guys so much. Thank this was amazing.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we're connected.
Me too.
This was so divinely planned. Dear yummies, thank you so much, so much for lending your ear and taking time, valuable time for your soul to listen to this episode today. I am honored to provide this for you, and I hope something in this spoke to you and shifted you in some way. I would love to personally connect with your soul on, well, of course, IRL, but also on the Instagrams or the Facebooks. My Instagram, which I am finally active on, is at Raquel Mantra, that is spelled RAQUELLE Mantra. I'll put that in the show notes. And make sure to not only see and respond to all the comments, but also send love back to you, because why not? And then for you to also connect with me and this powerful tribe of like-minded individuals, high-vibing individuals to raise your vibrations, feel free to join us in the Your Own Magic secret Facebook group. That will also be left in the show notes. And feel free to browse yourownmagic.life. I have some free guided meditations on there and more information about upcoming retreats and events. And of course, my offering, my service, is the Soul Tribe exclusive site, which is $44.44 USD. This is for life, for you to receive many meditations. And the most recent one was to help you reprogram your subconscious mind to see your highest potential in a hypnotic state. For example, like reprogramming your subconscious mind to see your highest potential while you're in a hypnotic state, along with others like activating your third eye or short, simple ones to ease you into your morning or alleviate anxiety, and a lot of deep imaginings, which I love to do personally, is to just visualize and expand my imagination so I can be more creative in my day. In addition to that, other soul expanding journalings to ask yourself every morning, and magic challenges and other spiritual rituals, yada yada. Anyway, I love you all so much. Thank you so much for listening, and have a magical day.